It's the busiest week of the earnings season, and investors are playing a wait-and-see game. It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the 22nd day of April. Thanks for coming by again today, everybody. It's the spring home buying season, but real estate transactions are sluggish. Have you heard about the exploding Tesla? We'll tell you about that today. Use Apple Pay? Well, you can't do that anymore at JCPenney. Doom and gloom for the U.S. auto market? We'll have that story as well. The ACLU of Iowa has challenged the latest ag gag rule. Also today, we'll tell you about how Debbie Sears is working to stamp out hunger with the Food Bank of Iowa. And because it's Monday, Laura Kennard with business networking and education events in the Metro. Stay with us. The Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to a brand new week of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, as Wall Street braces for the busiest week of the earnings season, investors are playing a wait-and-see game. More than 140 S&P 500 companies are scheduled to release their quarterly results this week, including Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, United Technologies, Verizon, Twitter, Lockheed Martin, and eBay. Facebook, Microsoft, and Tesla Motors are also set to report later this week. Halliburton and Kimberly-Clark are among the companies that have reported better than expected quarterly results. And today, Halliburton stock gained 1.6%, while Kimberly-Clark moved up by 5.3%. So far, the majority of corporate earnings reports have topped expectations. FactSet data shows 76.5% of the S&P 500 companies that have posted earnings have surpassed analyst expectations. I'll share with you all the numbers from Wall Street a little bit later on in the newscast. You know, it's supposed to be the start of the spring home sales boom, but sales of existing U.S. homes fell in March following a big gain in February. The most impacted slowdown is happening among the most expensive properties in the nation. Today, the National Association of Realtors said that home sales fell by 4.9% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.2 million. Now, that's down from 5.4 million in February. And if we factor in the 11% gain from February with the drop in March, that's nearly a 16% swing, and that, friends, is huge. Home sales are struggling to rebound after slumping in the second half of last year, when a jump in mortgage rates to nearly 5% discouraged many would-be buyers. And now, spring buying is running behind last year's healthy gains. Most analysts expect sales to rebound in the coming months. Borrowing costs have since fallen back to an average of 4.2% on a 30-year fixed mortgage, and solid hiring is pushing employers to pay higher wages, making it easier for more Americans to afford a home purchase. Sales fell in all four major U.S. regions, with the biggest decline occurring in the Midwest. And that might have been partly reflecting the impact of massive flooding here in Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska last month. Meanwhile, applications for mortgages to purchase homes have been running at a healthy pace in recent months. That's evidence that final sales should pick up if those applications are approved. News and video out of Shanghai is all about the parked Tesla Model S that exploded while sitting in a parking garage. Tesla has said it's sending a team of experts to the area to determine exactly what happened. There have been at least 14 instances of Tesla cars catching fire since 2013, with the majority occurring after a crash. The automaker has said its electric vehicles are approximately 10 times less likely to experience a fire than petrol-powered cars, based on its fleet of over 500,000 vehicles, which have driven more than 10 billion miles. Well, today, the 117-year-old department store JCPenney decided to, slip back several years, announcing it would no longer accept Apple Pay. And the weird thing is, all of this played out on Twitter, And JCPenney didn't offer any reason as to why they were discontinuing accepting Apple Pay, which, as you can imagine, infuriated customers. So what's going on? Well, the company claims the move was necessitated by the April 13th deadline in the United States for supporting EMV contactless chip functionality. As of the 13th, all terminals at U.S. merchants' locations that accepted contactless payments like Apple Pay must actively support EMV contactless chip functionality, and the legacy MSD, that's the magnetic strip data, you know what's on your card, that technology must be retired. JCPenney was not ready to comply, it seems, so it switched off all contactless pay options as a result. However, it hasn't ruled out re-enabling them sometime later on. Well, it's auto show time in New York, and more than two dozen new cars, trucks, crossovers, and concept vehicles are making their debut at this week's annual show. It's the sort of event that you would expect is full of hype and offer a boost to the U.S. new car market. But CNBC is reporting that despite the bullish speeches at the show's media preview on Wednesday of last week, there's a sense of growing concern, if not outright pessimism, that came across during interviews and private conversations with industry leaders and analysts at the show, which runs now through April 28th. January and February saw sharp downturns in U.S. new vehicle sales, although many in the industry tried to downplay all that to the bad weather, you know, that spread across the entire country. But things didn't look much better in March, with overall first quarter demand down by nearly 4%. Even General Motors and Toyota tumbled, and there were only four brands finishing out the first 3 months of the year with increased retail sales. Industry experts are predicting that sales will follow, but when is going to be the issue? Meanwhile, as sales of new cars trend downward, used cars are selling really well. For the first 2 months of the year, sales of used cars were also down, but that turned around in March, that according to a new report from J.D. Power. The poor start of 2019 was driven by lower than expected and delayed federal tax returns, says the report. The partial shutdown of the federal government slowed refund checks in January and February, and those that did arrive were smaller than many taxpayers expected. J.D. Power noted that historically, consumers use tax refund checks for a healthy down payment on a vehicle purchase. So despite the uptick in used car sales in March, J.D. Power expects sales to slow for the rest of the year. Why? Well, increases to supply, more volatile credit conditions, and higher gasoline prices are all expected to put more pressure on the used vehicle market. Those negatives will outweigh positives like a strong labor market, rising home prices and equity, and the general appetite of U.S. consumers for used vehicles. Now you know, we've got both ends of the car world covered, new and used. Well, the Des Moines Register is reporting that the ACLU of Iowa filed a lawsuit today challenging the state's new ag gag law, saying it's unconstitutional, chilling free speech, and criminalizing a free press. It's Iowa's second attempt to make it a crime for journalists, advocacy groups, and others to go undercover at meatpacking plants and livestock facilities. Rita Bettis-Austin, the ACLU of Iowa legal director, said in a statement, quote, "The Ag Gag 2.0 law aims to silence critics of worker rights, abuses, animal safety, unsafe food practices, and environmental hazards in agricultural facilities." She continued in the statement, quote, "Legislators rushed to pass Ag Gag 2.0 shortly after the federal injunction of Ag Gag 1.0 came down. Enough is enough. Free speech means the government is not allowed to put the PR interests of one industry above the constitutional rights of its critics," end quote. A federal court judge did rule in January the state's 2012 Ag Gag law was unconstitutional, violating the First Amendment's free speech protections. Stocks were little changed today as Wall Street is bracing for the busiest week of the earnings season. The Dow fell by 48 points to 26,511, while declines in the material and real estate sectors kept the S&P 500 near the flat line at 2907. The NASDAQ gained 17 points to end the day at 80.15. Boeing contributed to most of the Dow's losses as the stock fell by nearly a full percentage point after the New York Times reported that workers at the company's jet plant have complained for some time about shoddy production and bad safety practices. China also weighed on the minds of investors as the South China Morning Post reported the nation will pursue what they're calling structural changes to its economy rather than add stimulus. Chinese stocks closed sharply lower on the news. U.S. crude moved up by nearly 3 percentage points as the Trump administration said it will not allow purchases of Iranian oil by some countries. That move could take out 1 million barrels a day out of the market. Oil closed today at $65.73 a barrel. Gold gained $1.10 to $1,277.10 an ounce, and the 10-year T-note is paying 2.58%. When we come back, we've got a really neat story about a businesswoman's ambition to reduce childhood hunger by doing a massive event featuring many of the top chefs in Des Moines. You'll meet Debbie Sears and another plate at the table coming up next.